The Ledger, written by René Clavaux. Fade in. Exterior. Sea to Sky Motel. Night. A rundown motel on the outskirts of New Orleans. No cars in the parking lot. Strong winds rip violently at the palm trees. A neon vacancy sign reads, "No vacancy." The no flickers off and on rapidly, and then, vacancy winks out, leaving just the word, "No." Interior. Sea to Sky Motel lobby, continuous. The motel lobby with a couple of upholstery chairs by the door. The bad 70s decor seems right at home here, complete with an old cigarette machine next to a short hallway. A tacky, dimly lit chandelier hangs over the front counter where the manager, 50, tall, gaunt, charming, stands staring at the door, drumming his fingertips. The door bursts open and lightning flashes, silhouetting a figure standing in the doorway. Father James, 28, rugged, dour, wearing dirty vestments with a decidedly off-white collar, drops his leather case inside and leans on the door to close it. He wearily carries the case to the desk. Manager.
Hell of a day to be traveling.
Father James grunts agreement.
Just in from the hurricane, or will you be staying on?
Father James.
Just the night.
I see. In that case, could I trouble you with a delicate matter?
It's been a long day. Actually, a long year. If you could just show me to my room...
Well, this won't take but a minute.
In exchange, please stay as my personal guest. No charge. The manager slides out from behind the counter, takes Father James by the arm, guides him back toward the door.
I'd just like you to take a look. See if there's something you can do.
The door opens again. Rain obscures the parking lot behind Ophelia, 56, black, Creole, rotund. As she shuffles inside, carrying a knitted bag. Ophelia.
Whew, that wind's got a right chill to it, straight to the bones.
She sees the manager with Father James and stops short.
Why don't that just figure? Should have stayed in a frying pan.
I'll be right with you, ma'am.
Soon as I take care of this gentleman.
Oh, save your please and thank yous. I know what you want, and you won't be getting it.
The manager smiles uncomfortably at her and leads Father James out the open door, closing it after them.
Well, that's right. You can't have it.
She chuckles and eases herself into one of the chairs. Exterior, Sea to Sky Motel, continuous. The manager leads Father James along the covered sidewalk. The wind whips the rain beneath the covering, soaking them. They stop in front of room 6. Interior, Sea to Sky Motel, room 6, continuous. A motel room in total disarray. Furniture strewn about haphazardly, clothing everywhere, and rotting food mixed in with it all. Father James covers his nose against the malodorous assault. Edward, 70, frail, lanky, sits cross-legged in the bed in soiled pajamas.
He came to me 2 nights ago, about the same as you see him now. I was going to call the police, but with the hurricane...
I'm not a doctor.
Well, of course not, but you'll be able to tell me if he's in need one.
Father James scoffs. Clearly, he is. Edward giggles and kicks his feet over the edge of the bed.
What do you want me to do?
Well, only your job. Tell me if he's truly possessed.
Father James gives the manager a hard look.
You knew I'm an exorcist.
Edward giggles again. The manager bows slightly.
I'll leave it to you.
As soon as he exits, a bureau slides across the floor and crashes against the door, blocking it. Father James considers the bureau for a moment.
What's your name?
Edward.
We have many, for we are legion.
Father James pulls a heavy silver crucifix from around his neck. He slowly winds the strong chain around his fingers.
I'll play games all you like.
It just tells me you're scared. He steps to the bed and holds the crucifix in front of Edward's face. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
No Latin.
I cast you out, demon. Release this soul in the name of Jesus Christ. Edward leans forward and presses his forehead against the crucifix. It burns his skin, but he laughs. Father James takes hold of the man's hand firmly.
I am speaking to the man inside this foul creature.
I know you can hear me. He shakes his sleeve, still holding Edward's hand. A rosary slides out from the sleeve and falls over Edward's wrist. Edward howls in pain and tries to break Father James' grasp.
Help me rid you of this demon. Say the Lord's Prayer.
Edward stops howling and smiles wickedly.
My father, who is in hell, damned be his name, his kingdom shall come.
Father James lets the hand go as though burned. Fear clouds his face. Edward strokes his own cheek softly.
You can't save this one.
Well, you're the third so-called Antichrist I've faced this year.
But the first to make you doubt.
Edward jumps on the bed gleefully.
You aren't strong enough,
points at Father James.
Not faithful enough.
Father James picks up a kitchen knife from the floor. This hurricane's a sign, is it?
A little monkey has a brain,
eyes the knife.
What are you going to do with that, Father?
You're right. I can't save you. Father James jumps into the bed and buries the knife in Edward's chest. Edward collapses, a look of shock on his face. Father James steps away, hands sprayed with blood. But I can delay you. He wipes his hands on his vestments, grabs hold of the dresser to move it.
Thou shalt not kill.
Interior. Sea to Sky Motel lobby. Continuous. The manager looks up from a leather-bound ledger to the door. Ophelia rocks in her chair.
Well, that was a dirty, dirty trick.
The manager takes a fountain pen and draws a quick line across the ledger page. The door opens again. Amelia, 36, rushes in, out of breath and soaked without a coat or umbrella. Behind her, Ophelia spots Father James walking across the parking lot. He smiles at her, eyes black as pitch. Amelia shuts the door, leans heavily against it. Ophelia shudders and makes arcane gestures toward herself. Manager.
I just put on the kettle, Earl Grey.
Oh, God, thank you. Ophelia cackles quietly, amused.
Madam, surely you'd be more comfortable in one of our rooms.
Oh, don't you worry about me. You just keep to your business, and I'll keep to mine.
The manager lifts a white towel from behind the counter. To Amelia.
Here, dry yourself a bit.
Amelia takes the towel and rubs at her face and hair.
Will you be staying long?
I'm just waiting out the hurricane. The night?
The manager smiles warmly, puts his ledger away.
I have just the thing for you.
Amelia hands back the towel, pats herself down, growing alarmed.
Oh, no.
Problem?
Damn it, I left my wallet in the car.
Oh, nothing to worry about. You can fetch it once the storm passes.
Again, thank you. Now, why don't you come with me to your room?
Exterior, Sea to Sky Motel, room 1128. Later. The manager struggles with a large umbrella to protect Amelia from the whipping wind and rain. Amelia stops when she sees the room number.
I used to live at 1128 Rose Avenue. Weird.
The manager opens the door for her. Interior, Sea to Sky Motel, room 1128, continuous. A single bed low to the ground, a low dresser sky blue, a child's table and chair canary yellow, a red bookshelf with children's books and action figures, baseball players and movie posters on the wall, toy cars and trucks on the floor. Amelia stiffens as she enters, recognizing everything. It pains her to be here. She turns back, but the door is closed and she's alone. She tries the handle, but it's locked. She takes a deep breath and turns to face the room, expecting to see something, but nothing's changed.
Hello?
A picture frame on the dresser turns slightly, catching her eye. A picture of a boy, about 8, in a baseball uniform. Amelia reaches for the frame but can't bring herself to touch it. Tears roll down her cheeks. She sits on the bed.
Okay. Okay.
A baseball rolls out from beneath the bed beside her feet.
Ryan? Is that you?
The picture frame flies off the dresser, smashing against the far wall. Amelia jumps.
You're angry.
Of course you are.
I'm so sorry, Rye.
Lightning flashes through the window. In the flashes, a child-sized silhouette appears on the floor. Amelia leaps to her feet, backs away.
It's not my fault. I was sick. I couldn't think clearly. It was a disease.
A remote control car zips across the room and crashes into a jar of marbles. The jar overturns, spilling marbles across the floor.
Stop it, Ryan.
Books fly off the bookshelf, then action figures, one by one. Amelia covers her face, afraid.
What do you want?
In the drawer, a pair of sewing scissors, sharp. Next to them, red nail polish.
I don't understand.
The scissors slowly unhinge, exposing their blades. The nail polish tips over, spilling red all over the blades.
You want me to...
The scissor blade snaps shut with a loud snip. Interior, Sea to Sky Motel lobby, continuous. Ophelia rocks in her seat, staring into space.
Dirty, dirty tricks.
Oh, just fill in the quota. Somebody gonna break you.
The manager gives her a look of pity. He pulls the ledger out from behind the counter and opens it.
Perhaps. But not you.
He unscrews the cap to his fountain pen and holds it ready. Interior, Sea to Sky Motel, room 1128, continuous. Amelia reaches into the drawer, picks up the scissors, sits on the bed, rolls up her sleeve, weeping, opens the scissors, places a blade against her wrist. She holds it there and throws the scissors across the room. Red lines mark her wrist, maybe polish, maybe blood.
No. I love you, Ryan. I always will. But it's not my fault.
She moves to the door and hauls on the handle. It opens easily. Outside, the storm is eased, the wind gone, and rain falls lightly. She looks back at the room. Everything's back in its place.
Goodbye, Rye.
She closes the door. Interior, Sea to Sky Motel, lobby. Ophelia rocking, staring into space.
Good for you, hon.
A door in the hallway creaks open and George, 22, black, big afro, broad smile, shuffles out dressed in 70s Sunday clothes. He stops at the cigarette vendor and pops a couple of coins into the slot. Ophelia watches him like a hawk.
Another poor soul.
George turns to the sound of her voice, straightens up, takes a closer look.
Ophelia?
Ophelia stares hard at him. Her look turns to fear when she recognizes him.
Oh, no. No, you don't.
Ophelia.
It's me. George.
Ophelia gestures wildly, trying to ward him away. The manager looks up from his ledger with a thin smile.
You stay away from me. You go back to hell where you belong.
George, confused, sits in the chair next to her.
You sick or something?
Ophelia rummages in her bag and pulls out a voodoo wand, long and sinewy, with teeth embedded into it and hair wrapped tightly around it. She brandishes it like a weapon. George's eyes fix on the wand, revulsion on his face.
Ophelia, where'd you get that?
Ophelia waves the wand in his face, smug and defiant.
What, don't you recognize your own skin? Your teeth? Your hair?
She sucks her teeth.
You ain't my George. You a sham. A conjure. Nothing but a shade.
George grabs her wrist, surprising her.
Can a shade do this?
Ophelia looks at the manager, afraid. He smiles, fountain pen hovering above the ledger.
Is this why I can't rest? You put a hex on me? On me?
Ophelia struggles, but George's grip is too strong.
Please, George, I had to, honey. You're my conduit.
It ain't too late, baby. Drop the wand.
Let it go. Let me be.
Ophelia looks like she might do it, but she kicks him in the shin instead. George lets go.
All dirty tricks again, trying to rid me of my mojo. I'll teach you.
Ophelia reaches into her clothes, then tosses a handful of black dust into George's face. She begins chanting and waving the wand at him. The manager's fountain pen scrapes across the ledger page. George, sad and pitiful, grabs Ophelia and heaves her over one shoulder. Ophelia screams and pounds on his back and head with the wand. He carries her down the hall and into the room. The door slams shut behind him, cutting off her screams. Fade out. The end. This concludes the iScript of The Ledger by Renee Claveau. Feel free to visit us at www.iscript.com.